How y'all doing today? Doing good. Okay. Yes, this is the close of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be reading 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-28, and I'm going to be sharing just a few thoughts about 1 Thessalonians, especially this section, and how it's such a blessing to us. But before... I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Father God, we confess that we need you every hour, not just once or twice a week, Lord, but every hour we need you. We pray that your blessing will be your church. Lord, your blessing will be on each and every member here. And we just pray, Lord, that you will lift us up and let us sanctify ourselves through your Spirit, Lord. And let us be your ambassadors here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read the 23rd through the 28th verse, which we'll be focusing on today, and share some brief comments about it. Verse 23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." In this brief exhortation, and this is an exhortation of the church because they were a very faithful church, had a lot of love for each other and a lot of love for God. But in Paul's final going away comments, his instructions, he was proud of his church. And he knew that they needed something a little more to help sustain them when times really got tough. And Timothy had given Paul a report that the church was doing well and they had a lot of love and a lot of faith. And this gave Paul a lot of confidence. It really helped him to know that the church will continue long after he had gone. Verse 23, he talks about, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. You know, sometimes we think that just a little bit of God is enough. We think that after we are baptized or after we confess that we really love him, you know, that everything is just going to be smooth sailing. But God reminds us here that we need to be set apart. And that's what sanctifies mean. We need to be sanctified and set apart for the purpose of doing his will here on earth. And we can't do that on our own. Sometimes we think that we can just go deeper or learn more or be exposed to other people more. But Paul reminds us here that this is a process that only God can complete. You know, we need to be sanctified in his Spirit and be continually seeking God to take us deeper and deeper. And, you know, I think sometime where, you know, hey, haven't I done enough? Oh, believe that. But God says, no, there's more for all of us to do. And Paul was writing about this whole spirit, this whole soul, this whole body, and let it be kept blameless. And being kept blameless is something that we can't do on our own. That's why Jesus died on the cross, because he knew that we would need something very powerful to help us through the tough times. And there is something about mankind that is a very complex and compound being, that we have a spirit, a body, a soul, and mind. And unless we get all of that in one accord, then we just can't make it. We're gonna fall short. So Paul reminds us that we need the anointing of God's Spirit on us all the time. Ah, gosh, a brother said to me last Sunday, and I will never forget it. He said, "Stan, I see God's anointing on you." Wow. That was so powerful. It meant so much to me. It reminded me, I can't make this journey alone. There's no way that I can do this by myself. Because that's a real tall order to be say that I'm going to be sanctified and I'm going to go deeper in God without realizing the source of the strength that we have in Christ. Now, verse 24 says that the one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. So don't think you can do this on your own, because God has promised throughout the whole Bible, and he has never failed to keep a promise. He's never failed to do that. So let's keep pressing into God and asking him, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I can only do it by your strength." Now, our equipping and being set apart for God's will can come at a heavy price. We know from the people that we've sent out and people that are around the world suffering in many places that the cost of discipleship can be very heavy. But God has promised to be with us. When we first become a believer and we have this spiritual rebirth, and we hear God's word and we respond to it, we sometimes think we've arrived. But don't rest in that. Don't coast because you haven't arrived yet. And sadly, some Christians end their transformation at a very shallow state of awareness of God's presence. And we end up missing the greatest blessing that we can ever have, because we don't want to endure some of the pain and suffering that is called for in being a sold out saint of God. That can be heavy. I'd like to share a little story with you. I thought I was okay once. Ah, gosh. I was a baptized believer, attending church all the time. And I was a faithful giver. Like John talked this morning, you know, we need to be more faithful in our giving, guys. Come on. Just a little pitch there, you know. Oh, and at that time, you know, I was singing on a praise team, and Buddy would love that. He's always asking me, "Stan, when are you going to get up there and sing on a praise team?" Yeah. I was a cell member and a cell group leader, and Ann and I were deacons here at the church, and we had hosted a marriage group and other type of cell activities for well over a decade. Can you believe that? You didn't think I was that old, did you? But I was doing all that. And one night, we were in our marriage group, and I felt this yearning, this burning on my heart. And God was telling me, "I want more of you." And I thought, what could that mean? And I had no idea, but I knew that God wanted for me to be sold out more and more and go deeper and deeper in his love. And the next Sunday, I came to church, and I met CJ right down there at the door. And he said, "The elders and I have been considering you to be an elder here. Would you consider going through the process?" And I said, "That's it." And sometimes you just have to, if you're praying, "God, show me what you want for me," then he'll do it. He'll show you exactly what it is that you should be doing. And if you don't want that, don't be asking God. Because that can come at a pretty heavy price sometime, you know. And it's been a joyous opportunity to share here at the church. And this scripture was talking about giving an account, the elders giving an account for the body. And I thought, man, it's going to be a joyous thing for me as an elder and the other elders to give an account for the people at the well. Because you guys are faithful and your service is far beyond a lot of people, a lot of churches around. So just as Paul was praying here, we need to be able to give an account with joy. And you guys have made that all possible. And even the apostles in that day, they were saying, boy, you know, we need to pray. You need you guys to pray for us. In verse 25, it says, it stresses the importance of praying for your leaders. And the elders must, because the elders must give an account for how you're doing. You know, we have to stand before God and say, yeah, we taught the word to these people and look what they did for you. Not for us, but look what they did. They're really cool people here at the well. In verse 26, he encouraged the church to greet one another with a sign of sincere affection and kindness. It says, greet each other with a holy kiss. Now, I'm not pushing that. You know. This was a greeting of the day when Paul was working in the church there. But we need to be kind and loving. And when someone needs a hug, give them a hug. You know, but know where your boundaries are. So let's not get carried away with that. Paul also says in verse 27 that I charge you to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters in the area. And so many times, you know, we kind of slack off. We want to give an opinion about the word. But Paul says, no, you read the word just like it was given. And make sure that everyone is able to hear the word. You know, that's why a lot of times we have people that's translating the word into different languages. They're taking the word outside of these four walls. And that's important. And Paul admonishes, he charges us to take the word to people who have not heard it. Like Christine is going, and she'll have an opportunity to take the word to people who have not known Christ. So this is a very important thing with you. So what is Paul's charge to the well? If it was 2018, what would he say about us here at the well? Would he be able to give a good report of us? And I think so. I think he would be able to give a good report of people at the well. We're not saying that we're blameless in and of ourselves. We're not saying that we've got it all together, that everything we do is right. But Paul would have said of the well, well done, my good and faithful servants. He would have saying that you guys represent the cause of Christ well. So I commend you as an elder at the church to just keep on keeping on and keep growing deeper in your faith for God. And that's all he wants for us. That's it. So, and that's all I've got to say. So we will continue our service with a lot of awesome worship. And so just glorify God in your presence. And at the end of every letter, he says, the peace of God be with you. So let's remember that. That is your blessing. Go with God's peace.
All right, you can stand.